And Peter began to speak to them, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of the Lord. Down in Charlotte, North Carolina, there's a cartoonist by the name of Doug Marlette. Marlette draws a cartoon strip called Kudzu, and it features the Reverend Will B. Dunn, a Southern preacher with a black pork pie hat. One day in the strip, Reverend Dunn is answering his mail. A woman writes, Reverend Dunn, how do you feel about pond scum in the baptismal pool? Preacher thinks for a moment and writes back, honey, in our church, we'll baptize just about anybody. Now, I know that some of us probably have a higher opinion of ourselves. But I remember what it also says in the New Testament. Paul writes to one of his churches and says, remember who you are, brothers and sisters. Not many of you are very bright. Not many of you are very strong. Not many of you are well connected. But God chooses what is ridiculous in the world to shame the wise. In other words, welcome to the church. This is the place where God always seems to choose the wrong people. Just to prove the point, God makes sure that some of those wrong people get baptized. That's what's going on in this story in the book of Acts. Peter was quite content to let the church be a Jewish institution. Jesus was Jewish. All the first disciples were Jewish. They kept the Passover. They celebrated the commandments. They ate the kosher food. And then one day the Holy Spirit comes down upon this large group of Jews, and Peter is so full of the Spirit that he begins to preach. Listen, he says, we're not drunk with wine. We're intoxicated with God. It's just like the prophet said, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what Peter says. The Spirit comes on all flesh. Everyone who calls the name, he does say, everybody. But then Peter gets this invitation to preach to some Gentiles, and he doesn't want to go. He argues with God about it, and God says, argue all you want, but even now, there are three Italians downstairs knocking at your door. So Peter goes, listens to them, preaches, and we heard what happens. God gives those Italian Gentiles the Holy Spirit. And they start singing and prophesying and praising the Lord. And Peter and his bunch are astonished. Finally, he says, I guess we better baptize them. And this is the moment when pasta ended up on the table of church potluck suppers. We can be lighthearted about this. Peter preaches, the Spirit comes, the Gentiles get included, the Jews eat spaghetti. But don't forget, this is the church where everybody has an opinion and no good deed goes unpunished. And pretty soon back in Jerusalem, they're criticizing Peter and saying he baptized the wrong people. That can be a problem. You know what can be a problem. On the next snow day that comes along, I've already set aside a couple of my favorite movies to watch. There's Hitchcock's North by Northwest. I have to watch it once a year. But at the top of the stack is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? The wild tale of three hoodlums who escape from a prison farm in 1930s Mississippi. They break free from the chain gang and they head out to the country. In one scene, they find themselves by a river where a Baptist preacher is baptizing a long line of pilgrims in white. Well, one of the gang of criminals, the leader, starts making fun of the ritual. He's so busy making fun of it that he doesn't realize that one of his buddies has broken ranks, splashed up to the preacher, and gotten himself dunked. Well, I'll be, said the third one. Delmar has gone and gotten himself saved. Delmar comes out of the water. He says, that's it, boys. The preacher has washed away all my sins. It's the straight and narrow from here on out. Heaven is my everlasting reward. The preacher said, all my sins are washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo. The leader of the gang says, I thought you said you was innocent of those charges. Well, I was lying, says Delmar. And the preacher said, that sin's been washed away now too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me. Come on in, boys. The water is fine. With that, the third criminal hands over his hat to the leader, splashes out to the preacher to get himself dunked too, and the two of them come out. They've been redeemed. And then the very next day, all three of them hitch a ride with Babyface Nelson, and they end up robbing a bank. Apparently, the wrong people got baptized. I don't know about you, but that does sound like a parable of my spiritual life. God washes us clean in baptism, gathers us in the grace of the Holy Spirit, joins us with Christ's work of redemption, and next thing you know, I'm acting like it doesn't matter. Well, back to the story. Certainly some of those Gentiles that Peter baptized were good people. Good people. And some of those religious folks who complained about their baptism were cranky, miserable, and hard to be around. That's one of the mysteries too, isn't it? That God has to work with the people that God chooses. Or to put it simply, God has to work with us. Now we believe baptism is the starting point. It doesn't matter when that baptism takes place, if you're a little bitty baby fresh from the mother's womb, or if we're growing up fresh from the womb of God. What matters is that there is a claim on our lives, and God says, you belong to me, and from this point forward, I have work for you to do. That's where it starts. And sure, by the end of day, Most of us have fallen short of God's dreams for us, or at least it looks that way. But as a wise person once said, God never gets to work with perfect people. God has to work in spite of some people who think they're perfect. And God also has to work with the rest of us. Remember Abraham and Sarah? They said they were too old. Remember Jeremiah the prophet? He said he was too young. Remember Moses? He murdered a man. Remember King David? He had a wandering eye. Remember Elisha the prophet? He had a bad temper. Remember the Apostle Paul? He was in and out of jail. In fact, remember Jesus? He was condemned and killed as a criminal. When we baptize people and send them out to serve God in the world, we recognize that God has to work with the people who are in front of him. There aren't going to be any other substitutes shipped in from headquarters. This is as good as it gets. The world is going to get saved if the hungry are going to be fed, if mercy is going to win over meanness. It's going to happen only through everyday people who do the best they can, living out their baptism forward, even if they are serving in incomplete ways. But it's going to happen, because it is God's mission to save the world. And the only people God has to use for this are people of wavering faith, people who are unfinished, people who are flawed, and let's face it, some people who just get it wrong. And if people like these ever get anything done for God, it's because they know the work of the gospel is not about them. It's not about their personal perfection. It's about service beyond self-centeredness. It's less about trimming our moral fingernails and more about getting our hands dirty. The work of the Lord is best done by imperfect people who know that they are wanted by God and needed by the world. They can do extraordinary things, but it's in the name of the extraordinary God. Of all the people to ever be baptized, and particularly of all the wrong people to ever be baptized, the most significant is Jesus himself. He's all wrong, but for different reasons. He's not pond scum, although he lives among people who get dirty and work with their hands. He's not situated between robbing the Piggly Wiggly and robbing a bank, no, but you would never think he'd be the type to associate with such sinners. Even John the Baptist looks at him when he's next in line and says, "Not you," and Jesus says, "Yes, me too." "But this is all wrong," said John. "You should be baptizing me. You should be bringing down fire from heaven to purge the world of evil. You should be splitting the grain from the stalk. You should be chopping down the overgrown tree. But you should not be coming to me to be baptized. That's all wrong." And Jesus says, "I have come to finish off righteousness." You know what that means? It means he has come to complete the old idea that you have to be good in order to be loved. It means he has come to flesh out what it means to live in complete unity with God, even if you don't know what the next day holds. "I'm here to be baptized," says Jesus, "so I can do what God has given me to do." Now, this doesn't make any human sense, except that Jesus sets aside all human sense and submits himself to the preacher in the river. And when he stands again, his hair soaked with the Jordan River, he starts the good work of saving the world. And he begins by calling all the wrong people to himself and then giving them something to do. Today, we add one more to this great list of people who were baptized. It's not for you, it's not for me to say if we're baptizing the right person or the wrong person. That's God's business. It's always God's business. But I do know that she comes on behalf of those who are willing and ready to serve Jesus, to offer a hand up to the downtrodden and the dispirited, to offer time and talents for the greater good. And that's sufficient for us. And according to our Bible, that's sufficient for God. Do you know that if you say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," God will never turn you away. Never. There's too much love to show to a hungry, needy world. And somebody has to do it. So let's get to it. Let's stay wet.